Hey everyone, buckle up. We're diving into the tech world today, and let me tell you, things are moving at warp speed.
Yeah, no kidding. We're talking headlines ripped straight from Hacker News Digest, issue hashtag 2704.
Which, by the way, is like eavesdropping on the tech world's most interesting conversations, you know? You get those aha moments and those wait, what moments all in one place.
It's true. Think of it as like the pulse of the tech community. Whatever's got them talking, debating, furiously upvoting, that's what we're digging into.
And let me tell you, today's digest is a wild ride. We've got everything from debates about $1,000 wheelchair.
Seriously, $1,000?
To questions about whether we're all going to run out of sand.
Sand.
It sounds crazy, right? But wait till you hear the connection to microchips. Okay, now you've got me hooked. And to top it all off, there's this whole saga about a Nintendo Switch emulator getting kicked off of GitHub.
Yeah, that's causing quite a stir in the open source world.
So before we get too far, for those who might not be familiar with emulators, they're basically like magic software that lets you play, say, your favorite old Super Nintendo games on, like, your PC.
Exactly. But this GitHub situation is a whole other can of worms. Really highlights the tension when legal stuff bumps up against the open source world.
And when those worlds collide, things get interesting fast. But hold on, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Let's rewind back to that sand shortage thing. How on earth are we running out of sand?
Right, so it sounds bizarre, but we'll think about what makes those computer chips tick. Silicon, right? And guess what silicon comes from?
Wait, are you telling?
Sand. It's the foundation of our digital world. And it turns out the planet doesn't have an infinite supply.
Whoa. Okay, so suddenly, this isn't just some random fact. We're talking about a potential silicon crisis down the line if the demand for tech keeps skyrocketing.
It's a real concern, and it's pushing people to think differently, you know? Like, how do we create more sustainable tech? What are the alternatives?
Okay, that's a deep dive for another day.
Okay.
But back to those disappearing acts. First, it's sand potentially going AWOL, and now this Rejinx emulator is getting yanked from GitHub.
And GitHub's a big deal, right? It's where a ton of developers collaborate and share their projects.
It's like the heart of the open source community. So this removal, it's not just about one emulator, is it?
Not at all. It's raising all sorts of questions about, well, control, really. Mm. Who gets to decide what software gets made and shared?
Especially when you're dealing with something like video games, which are, you know, fiercely protected by copyright law and all that.
Exactly. And that's where things get really tricky.
It's like one minute we're talking sand and the next we're talking about emulators disappearing. It's a lot to keep up with.
Tell me about it. And speaking of disappearing acts, there's this whole thing with Mozilla, the folks behind the Firefox browser, and the developer of that popular ad-blocking extension, uBlock Gorge.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Something about security measures and, like, unintended consequences.
Right. So Mozilla, they're trying to make their browser extensions more secure, which is a good thing, right? But those changes ended up kind of, like, throwing a wrench into how uBlock Origin works.
So now it's this whole debate about, like, yeah, security is important, but not at the expense of functionality, right?
Exactly. It's tough because on one hand, you want people to be safe online, but on the other hand, you don't want to limit what developers can do or make it harder for people to, you know, control their own browsing experience.
Like, where do you draw the line?
Right. And this whole thing, it speaks to a bigger issue, too, this tension between, like, user privacy and a developer's ability to build stuff that people actually want to use.
Yeah, good point. It's like walking a tightrope. Yeah. And with every step forward in the tech world, there's this question of, like, okay, but at what cost?
Totally. Yeah. Okay, ready for more AI news?
Hit me with it.
All right, so OpenAI, the folks behind ChatGPT, they had their big dev day thing. And, well, let's just say they're not slowing down anytime soon.
Oh, really? What'd they announce?
Well, the big takeaway is that they're going all in on developing even more powerful, even more independent AI systems.
Okay, now that's both exciting and a little bit unnerving at the same time, don't you think?
For sure. It's like, imagine the possibilities, but also, whoa, hold on. Are we ready for this?
It's like that saying, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Exactly. And, you know, this isn't just some theoretical debate anymore. We're talking about real-world implications.
Speaking of the real world, the Hacker News Digest also had a story about, get this, dock workers going on strike at major ports along the East Coast.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
And at the heart of it all, automation.
Right. Like, it's one thing to talk about AI and robots in the abstract, but here it is, playing out right now with real jobs and livelihoods on the line.
It's a classic example of how these tech trends, they're not just happening in some bubble, you know? They're rippling out and impacting all aspects of our lives.
Absolutely. And sometimes it feels like we're all just trying to keep up, you know?
Tell me about it. Okay, so how about we switch gears for a minute and talk about gambling?
Gambling. Wait, what?
Yeah, so there was this fascinating discussion about how being a professional gambler these days, it's not what it used to be.
Oh, really? Like, how so?
Well, think about it. Algorithms, data analysis, all that stuff, it's changing the game. It's not just about intuition and experience anymore.
Huh, interesting. So it's like even in the world of gambling, it's humans versus machines.
In a way, yeah. Okay, ready for a blast from the past?
Always.
All right, so remember COBOL?
COBOL, like the programming language, that's still a thing.
Apparently so. It turns out all those rumors of its death have been greatly exaggerated.
Get out of here.
It's true. It's still running critical systems in a lot of places.
So it's like finding out your old flip phone still works, even though everyone's moving on to smartphones.
Exactly. And, you know, it kind of makes you think, right? Like, maybe innovation isn't always about chasing the newest, shiniest tech. Maybe sometimes it's about, you know, keeping those older systems humming along.
That's a good point. It's like we're so busy looking ahead that we sometimes forget about the systems that are still holding everything together. It's wild how much of the tech world runs on like legacy systems, right? But hey, speaking of things that have been around for a while, online stores, seems like there's always some drama about apps getting the boot.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We were just talking about GitHub, and now there's Juno for YouTube getting pulled from Apple's App Store.
Seriously. What's the story there? Did they like break some rules or something?
It's usually a bit of a gray area, you know? Sometimes it's copyright issues, other times it's those App Store policies which seem to change like the wind.
Yeah, it's tough because on one hand, you want these platforms to be like safe and all that, but then there's the whole question of censorship, right?
Exactly. It's a tricky balance. Who gets to decide what we can and can't even access? Where do you draw the line?
It's a question that keeps coming up, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's an easy answer. But hey, before we get too deep into that rabbit hole, there was actually a really cool story about the Netherlands returning some stolen artifacts to Indonesia.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. It's always good to see technology used for, you know, positive change.
Totally. But wait, how did tech even play a role in that?
Well, think about it. Tracking provenance, connecting people across borders, raising awareness. Tech can do all of that.
Ah, that's a good point. It's like a reminder that tech itself isn't inherently good or bad. It's how we use it, right?
100%. Speaking of using tech for good, did you see that thing about Mitchell Hashimoto?
Hashimoto. That name rings a bell.
He created Terraform, that infrastructure automation tool. Anyway, he just donated a ton of money to the Zig Software Foundation.
Zig. Okay, you have to refresh my memory. What's Zig?
So it's a programming language, relatively new, but it's getting a lot of buzz for being like super fast and efficient.
Okay, got it. So why is this donation such a big deal?
Well, it shows that these like big names in tech, they're willing to put their money where their mouth is, you know? They're investing in the future of open source.
That's pretty awesome, actually. It's like a vote of confidence in the power of collaboration and like building things that benefit everyone.
Totally. It's about shaping the future of tech, not just profiting from it.
Well said. So as we wrap up this deep dive into the Hacker News Digest, what have we learned? It seems like the tech world is this whirlwind of contradictions, right? Innovation and ethics, progress and consequences,
Yeah.
the old and the new.
You nailed it. It's complex, it's messy, it's constantly evolving, but hey, that's what makes it so fascinating, right?
Absolutely. And on that note, we'll leave you to ponder all the amazing and sometimes bewildering ways that technology is shaping our world. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, stay curious.